test of some noises that's coming out of my mouth pipe. Hello and welcome to the Dear Diary Paul Fax Radio Paul Fax Diary Podcast. Normally when I'm doing a recording, I will start off making some noise, as you've just previously heard, just to test that the sounds work. But that amused me, so I thought I'd leave it in, just because that's the kind of nonsense we get behind the scenes, don't we, Cecil?
Oh, you're a proper card behind the scenes, Paul.
Am I?
Yes. Normally, Paul puts across a character of a miserable despot.
Tosspot, Cecil.
Yes. But in actual fact, you're quite fun.
Well, obviously, otherwise, why would you keep me round?
I do keep you round by feeding you so much Fun Factory Cola.
Very good, yes. Witty. Witticism. Right. Well, let's get cracking on. Last week, if you remember, I found some of Grandfather Thax's Dear Diary podcast letter pages in an old diary that hinted that the silver key box thing is maybe hidden in a bakery in Austria. So we're going on holiday to Austria now with our blog, what I've written. Now normally when I do this, I've read ahead and I've sort of read what's going to happen and I know roughly what words I have to read out. So sometimes it's still a bit stilted and a bit, you know, a bit stuttery, but this time I haven't read ahead, can't be bothered. So it's going to be interesting. I wonder how many outtakes. Well, there won't be any outtakes because we don't do outtakes around here, do we, Cecil?
The only outtake that we do around here is me and your mother going out for a meal. Takeout is what I'm trying to get at tentatively.
All right, thank you. Well, we've already wasted 2 minutes of the introduction. So let's just crack on with the 23rd of July, shall we, Cecil?
Yes, happy reading, Paul. Good luck.
Thanks a lot, old bearded tits. 23rd of July. Well, it's early to bed. Imagine if I did read it like that, a bit fun, wouldn't it? 23rd of July. Well, it's early to bed once again. I've got self-conscious now because I know that everybody knows I'm doing it blind, sort of. 23rd, this is going to take forever. 23rd of July. Well, it's early to bed once again for me because I have to be up at 4 a.m. to get the taxi to get the coach that takes us on a 2-day bus ride to Austria. Though it's not as far away as Italy is, it's still going to be a long haul. Burpingtons. I've been doing some more research on Austria and there's some fascinating shops. And some of the images of food that they have simply look stunning. And from what I've read, they also serve meats and cheeses for breakfast. And they frown on vegetables. I may never live. Right. Now, the next Dear Diary podcast is 3 days condensed into one. Don't know why. You know, there's no editing in this. So, this is the 24th, 25th and 26th of July. Okay. 24th of July. But I don't know where to begin, really. Probably at the beginning is a great place to start. But I can't, and I won't. I shall start 3 days into the whole business, and then I'll go back to the start like some kind of temporal mind game, or like a Quentin Tarantino film. But you see, I'm sat here, in a chair, a wooden chair. Its back support is poor. Very, very poor. Very, 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 very poor. I guess the opticians, Austrians don't care about the lumbars and its need for such support. For yes, I am deep inside Austria. The chair's back is at 90 degrees to the main sit-down shelf area of the chair. Some would call that the seat, but I don't know, I'm not a chair technician. I'm frighteningly drunk, apparently. The alcoholic beverages in the bar were utterly free, all-inclusive, innit? I can't even feel my bone marrow anymore, which I suppose is a good thing. I'm sat in a chair in a room which I could, at best, describe as basic. Now, you know I lived with my parents in holiday flats for quite some time, and if we had a room like this, we could only charge about £7 a night. The facilities in this are 3 beds, 2 chairs, yes, 2 chairs to 3 beds, peculiar. I should assume that if a third person wants to sit on the chair, they'll have to sit on the floor. There's a TV, but of course all the channels are in Dutch or something. The toilet is not fully automatic, so it couldn't handle a basic, or most basic, Sunday morning stool. It was just, you know, you had to flush it mid-poo-poo. I didn't realise that when I began it, and it overflowed and wet my slippers. There's also a sink and a very weak shower, but as we're only staying for 8 days, I won't be using that, so I don't need to bother with it. We've just come up from our tea, which was three-course in nature. The first course was some kind of green soup. I think there were mushrooms and asparaguses in it. When I served it, I pulled a horrified face, and probably due to my incredible tiredness, I just, again, did my usual trick of turning the bowl over and pretended I'd spilt it. It all went on Cecil's flat cap. He was furious. The waitress screamed, and so did Cecil. I made my insincere apology, but Mother could see right through it. My mess was cleaned up and everyone else began eating the soup, or drinking it through a straw in Cecil's case. So I waited in horror for my next course. What was it to be? A plate was put in front of my face and body, and upon this plate I can only describe as what is my ideal tea from heaven. There was just a slab of beef, slathered in gravy, and 6 roast potatoes. That's meat and 6 veg, isn't it? Yeah, I'd achieved more than my 5 a day quota. I heartily started to tuck into it when an old lady started having a go at me.
"Excuse me, young man, can you please wait until we all have our meal before you start to eat?"
I was stunned. If Cecil had said that to me, I would have screamed at him and run away crying, because, you know, you don't stop chunky poor sacks halfway through a eating frenzy. But I was so shocked that I placed my knife and fork on the plate and said I was very, very, very sorry. Unbeknownst to me, putting your knife and fork vertically next to each other on a plate means that you've finished your meal. So when the waitress came to bring everybody else's food, she took away my meat and vegetables. I tried to get it back, but I don't speak Austrian, and I didn't know what to say. I just sort of said, "Adios," hoping that meant, "Please don't steal my dinner." But she walked off, never even looking back. The nasty old woman started tutting. I got up and threw my napkin at her and ran out of the room. I came upstairs and sat down and started to cry. I didn't even get a pudding or 5. But let me take you back, in my mind anyway, to the opinions of the people we share the table with, shall I? Why not? Something to do, isn't it? Well, of course there's me, mother and father at the table, but there's also 4 other people with us. They're of course all old. Firstly, there's a lady called Pearl. I don't know how old she is, but she's the nasty one who kept on, people all beginning consummation of the meal at the same time. I of course hate her more than I've ever hated any old lady in my life. She's married to Douglas, or Dougie, I think. They seem Scotch. He's very timid, a bit like Cecil. In fact, thinking about it, they seem like a Scottish mum and dad. Though Dougie's not bald, unless his hair's a fake. Like Dad's is, actually. Oh, it could be. I'll have to bring up the subject of wigs and toupees and see how they react. Then there's one old lady by herself called Pamela. Oh dear. She's either in the process or has gone entirely through the process of losing her marbles. She's got a lazy eye and she always wears a woolen hat, which has got a picture of Cliff Richard embroidered on it. Then there's a single man called Maximilian, but he says just call him Max. He's quite a card, actually. He winks at everyone and he's always saying things like, "Oh, it's as cold as my mother-in-law's kissing here." Which is kind of witty, isn't it? A bit sexist, but kind of witty. Because from the north, and all northern men are witty, aren't they? And who doesn't love a dig at mother-in-laws, eh? Very modern. Oh, Max. He's the kind of man I wish I had for a father. I better go and let me see Little and Large in concert. But even the memories of such events can't wrench me out of the mood I'm in. I've been robbed of my beefy meal. I shall have my revenge at tomorrow's meal, though. Luckily, I've got a very large snack to eat. A little more on that a little later on, later, literally. But let's cast our minds back even further, shall we, to where all this began. It was 3 days ago. I was up at the ungodly hour of 2 o'clock inside the morning, because we had to be at Filey at 9 in the morning and we hadn't packed any of our things. 6 hours later, and I'd chosen which underpants to take. The choice was either my Thundercats one or my He-Man's one. But the Thundercats one had slightly more material intact, so I went for them. Then I rushed round and got 2 t-shirts and my pair of jeans, and I thought, right, I'm going to get 4 pairs of socks. But I didn't get 4 pairs, I just got 4 socks. Then Mum shouted at me to come and get in the taxi. So I threw my case. Ah, right, I see. Remember ages ago when I said it was the taxi man who was angry that I threw my suitcase out of the window into the back of his taxi. And I thought, well, I'm sure that hasn't happened yet. That's because this is happening now. Got my times all askew in my diary. Oh, it's almost as if it's all jibber jabber. Anyway, right. Mum shouted at me to come to get to the taxi, so I threw my case out of my bedroom window and into the open boot of the taxi car. Something I thought was an amazing feat, especially from the top floor, but the taxi driver didn't think I was so clever. The taxi ride to Friday was as tense as the driver was fuming, and he kept staring at me in the rearview mirror. I feared for my life. Then I got out of the car and he picked up my case, and while holding it, he started to spin around really fast. Then the bugger threw it about 30 feet. Then he showed me his middle finger for some reason, and then drove away. Idiot. He never even let us give him his fare. Spasm. Then we got on the bus. Oh, there was a sea of wiry grey hairs and mushroom-coloured coats. And most of the old ladies, when they saw me, just went, "Oh, bless." That made me a little bit sad inside, and cry outside, and also slightly aroused. I don't know why. When we found out about the holiday coach, When I found out about the holiday coach, I begged Mum to let us sit on the back seat. No, that's not right. Sorry, I'm just making it up. I'm reading 2 of the words and just making up 10% of the other words. Let's do that again. When I found out about the holiday coach, I begged Mum to book us onto the seats in front of the bus. At the front of the bus, apologies. So that we'd get the best view, and also Cecil could ask the driver any pertinent questions whenever I thought of them. Obviously, I wasn't going to ask him pertinent questions, but Dad would do it for me. He'd be my inquisitor by proxy. But no, she'd booked us all the entire back row of the coach. So not only were we the last to get on and off every time the coach came to a stop, we had to walk past every old person every time we got on the bus. As none of us can walk very fast, we're almost always late as well. And I always get travel sick at the back. It's almost as if she didn't want me to enjoy myself. Silly old bugger. So at 9 o'clock in the mornings, we set off on our merry way to Austria. I calculated the distance and time I expected to arrive there. I thought about 4 hours to get to the ferry at Dover, 20 minutes to cross the ferry to France, and then about another 2 hours to Austria. And I was right, apart from everything I thought. The driver started to talk to us about the day's trip, and he said it would take us 2 days to get to Austria. And we had to spend the night in Germany. Now, I did 2 years of GCSE German, so I thought, all right, it's good, test out my memory. But first we had to have the trip to ferry. To the ferry, apologise, not to ferry, Brian Ferry coming at me. Luckily, I'd brought my Sony Walkman with my cassette of Harry Secombe's hits. 90 minutes of his own unique warbling, witticisms and asides. By the time we got to the ferry, I'd heard it 5 times. Utter bliss. The journey had not given me much tummy trouble, but the ferry, oh my lord above. Nearly 2 hours of endless vomiting. Not by me though, by Cecil. He was having flashbacks to when he was at war and lost at sea. I kept saying to him, "Hey Cecil, is it sea?" and every time I said see, he was a little bit sick. But he never dampened his spirits, his old wartime spirits. He was singing non-stop sea shanties and the whatnot. Well, not non-stop, because, you know, he's been sick almost every verse. But as soon as he got back on dry land, he fainted, or fell asleep. We revived him by feeding him a Bovril beverage. Always carry one in my knapsack. Then, 6 hours of bus travel later, and another 5 listens of my tape. Pure entertainment, 5-star. But then, horror of horrors. We were just pulling into the German hotel when the tape started to sound peculiar, like it was underwater, and then it started getting chewed up. So, my first impression of Germany was that it hated Harry Seacombe. We got checked into our room without too much hassle, then I realised I hadn't packed any pyjamas, so I had to borrow some of Cecil's. Oof, they were tight, especially in the man boob area. Also, the single bed they had in our room was a child's one, so not only were my clothes cramped, but also my shins were hanging over the edge of the bed that had a wooden frame on it. It was horrible. And when Cecil got up to wee in the night, he tripped over my legs and knocked a TV on the floor, breaking it. A bit like a rock star. It was rubbish, he only got 2 channels anyway, and both of them were aimed at Germans. It was not a good night's sleep. I hope to get a better sleep on the bus for the final short leg of our journey. Day 2, or I imagine the 25th of July, came round. I slept in and missed breakfast, but apparently it was just fruit and vegetables anyway, so I couldn't care less. I had a kilo bag of Maltesers that I bought on the ferry, so they kept me going all day. Well, quite literally, the chocolate seemed to have a laxative effect. Oof. The driver said it'd be 9 hours travelling to the hotel, and to make up good time he didn't want to do many stops. All the old dears didn't have a problem with this, and we tried to put up some kind of protest, but as usual I was silenced by Mum and Dad. 7 hours into the ride, my legs went into some kind of spasm, and I had to get up and run and up and then on the bus to Australia. 7 hours into the ride, my legs went into spasm, and I had to get up and run up and down the bus. But there was and is a toilet on the bus. Got confused and frightened. To get there, it's got a little stairwell, and this is where I tripped down and fell down, and I landed on my head and got wedged fast. So the driver didn't stop, though, and nobody said anything. Mum came over to ask if I was all right, but I said, could you please get me out? And she said no, and nobody else would help me because they're all too old and frail. So I just stopped there for 2 hours upside down, doing a kind of headstand next to a toilet. If it wasn't for the smell of biddy piss and the intense headache I was getting, I probably would have quite enjoyed it, to be honest. I felt like I was an Australian. We arrived at the hotel at about, I don't really know, I was feeling very strange. It was dark, so I'm guessing a little bit late. Too late, in fact, we had no tea. I staggered upstairs, and when Mum had brought my bag in, I got into Dad's pyjamas and just fell asleep on the bed. Just slept for ages. So, this must be day 3. This very morning we got up for breakfast at about 8 o'clock. We were, well, I was late. I don't know if you know. Oh! Sorry, Mum and Dad just came in. Oof, I forgot. They're still very angry with me. Can't remember what I did now. Oh, that's right. I spilt the soup into Dad's flat cap, didn't I? Forgot about that. Oh, well, they've gone to bed now. I'm still at the table. I'm still sat at the table in the horrific chair with the 90 degree back shelf action. Oof, if this keeps up, I might get disabled. Oh, my poor lumbar, it does need some support. Right, tell you what, I'm going to stagger over to my single bed. It's only about 2 inches away from Mum and Dad's bed though, so it's almost like I'm sleeping in bed with them. Oof, Dad better not get violent in the night again. Oof, hang on. I'm in bed now. I hope this typing doesn't rouse Cecil. Okay, oops. He's got his back to me. He better not trump. Right, where was I? Oh yeah, breakfast on our 3rd day. We had various types of sausage, eggy wigs, bread, cheese, 7 different kinds, and some coffee. Now we all know coffee makes me poo, and poo hard. Within 49 seconds, some seconds, I was rushing to the loo, and I stayed there for many, many horrific ploppy moments. Well, at least it stopped me having awful holiday blockage. I once broke the toilet when we got back home from a 6-night stay away in Corfu when I was a kid. Oh, that was a rock-solid turd. Anyway, never mind that. For our first trip away, we were told we're going to the fun Austrian city of Innsbruck. The very location that this darn key might be, located. Though we were going on this holiday specifically to see... Sorry. Anyway, for our first trip, we were going away... Oh, Jesus has wept. Anyway, for our first trip out, we were going... Oh, wait, there's too many we-wheres in this sentence. Anyway, for our first trip out, we were told we were going to the fun city of Innsbruck, the very location that this darn key might be in. I thought we were going to... Though we were going on this holiday specifically to see if this damn key is hidden behind a loose brick in a bakery, there are several day trips out, which we would be foolhardy and foolish not to go on, just to enjoy ourselves, because, why not? Anyway, after 1.5 hours on the coach, we got into Innsbruck. Well, I say there, but we got to the first of our 8 churches tour around Innsbruck. Apparently the day was based around the various different Catholic churches of the city, which was just ridiculous. Thankfully, Mum had made a prior arrangement with the driver as to why we were coming here, so he let us off and we didn't have to go around the churches. Another reason I wanted to come to Innsbruck was that I knew for a fact there was a shop, world famous in chubby lad circles, that sold pizzas that were 45 inches in diameter. That's as near to a metre pizza as you're ever going to get, and I was very excited about that. We got off the bus and waved bye-bye to all the ancient people going around boring chintzy churches. Oh, the joy of being free from the bidders. I was giddy as a schoolboy on the last day of term, after his friend had brought Mr. Poppin, one of the best board games in the world, in my opinion. That lasted about 4 minutes, because I realised I was in a strange city, I didn't speak any of the lingo, so how the dickens was I going to ask for a giant pizza? I suppose a good point. Then something else hit me. But it was a man on a bicycle. You see, unbeknownst to me, they all have cycle lanes right next to and sometimes merging into the pavement. And this idiot Austrian fool hit me. He got up and dusted himself off and started shouting at me at what I'm assuming is Spanish or something. So I just said, "Me no speaky English." And with that, he just sort of got off on his bike and cycled off. I just started waddling down the street, happy as a drunken boy looking for pizza, which is what I was. Dad insisted that we go to the bakery first of all, and neither me or Mum could see any issue with that. I thought, yeah, why not? Fair enough, that's why we've come. That was until we realised that Grandad, the idiot, had translated whatever the real name was, the real street name was, in Austria. He'd translated it from Austrian to English, so there wouldn't be a main street, would there? It'd be something in Austrian. Mum asked me to go up to strangers and asked if any of them spoke English. Well, actually first she asked Cecil, but he was too scared to do it in case he met any Nazis that I might have met in the war and punched him. So I thought, right, with the power and strength I'd gained from a hearty breakfast of meats and cheeses, I just began to approach groups of young chaps. I figured there's no point in asking old Austrians because they won't speak English. So I waddled up to the men and said, "Hello, English you speak?" And they replied with, "Sure, dude, sup?" Because they were American. So I thought, oh, there's no point, is there? They're not going to know what Austrian is. So I tutted at them and walked away. Eventually, an 80-year-old man took us to the Hausstrasse and pointed us to the right direction. I was surprised he was 80, but he knew what we were talking about. But Dad thinks that he probably got training in the war to learn English so that he could come over and shoot us, or at least punch a home guardsman. Anyway, we found the street and also the bakery. It was very old-fashioned looking. Defiantly not being touched since 1887. should be definitely, but apparently I can't spell that word properly. It's not been touched since 1887, judging by the amount of wasps in the window. We went in there and hunched over on a stool in the corner was an ancient old woman, looking very world weary. A bit like that knight in the Indiana Jones film, you know, The Last Crusade, which wasn't his last crusade, was it? It was just the third in a series of increasingly tedious cash grabs. Anyway, Dad walked over to the old lady and shook her by the shoulder, quite gently, you know, it was respectful. And she fell to the floor, yet remained in the seated position. She was as rigid as me first thing on a morning. a young woman came rushing out the back room and started babbling in French or something. We tried to tell her that we would just touched her, and she was already that solid. It wasn't our fault. Once the woman had calmed down, she started speaking in English. Slightly better than I do, if I'm being honest with you. She told us that what we'd knocked over was a stuffed and mounted mother. Weird, isn't it? Apparently it's common to keep dead relatives stuffed in shops if you can't afford a funeral. I said that, but isn't that quite a nice idea for Mum and Dad if they die? Just, you know, have them sat round to keep me company. Mum wasn't keen for some reason, don't know why. Dad in time began telling her the story of his father, the silver trinket box and the lost key. She immediately closed the shop and wanted to know everything. She was enthralled, enticed and intrigued. Much like me, she was quite buxom. Cecil and her, yes, she was utterly beautiful, by the way, far too attractive for me to dare to even look at her, let alone talk to her. Her and Dad talked for ages. We had some kind of bun. It had raisins in it, but she was too sexy, so I couldn't turn her down. I just kept spitting them out when she wasn't looking at me. Maybe that's what the wasps were in the window, just people that were too, you know, polite to not eat a raisin. Don't know. Anyway, in due course, she led Cecil and us to the back of the shop. She hadn't heard about any of this key business from her mother and didn't know which brick it would be. Because, you know, in the diary it said there was a loose brick that the key was hidden behind. So we all searched around for about 40 minutes till suddenly Cecil shouted,
"I've found a loose brick!"
And we all rushed over to him and began to slowly pull it out. Cecil was shaking rather violently with excitement as he tugged away on the brick. With considerable force, it came loose, and we all slowly peered inside. There was a hushed silence as we looked on in awe. I took the opportunity to trump. It broke the tension and remains one of the highlights of the day. What? Okay. Cecil reached into the hole, not of my boxer shorts or my trump, just, you know, the bricky hole is uncovered, and he said,
"I've got something!"
And he pulled out a leather folder. It was a small size, about the size of an A3 flyer, you know, of a 2-for-1 pizza deal. And we took it back into the shop and we all sat round as Cecil opened it. Inside were lots of sheets of paper. And on close inspection, Grandad's 1958 June diary pages were in there. Not only that, but a leaf made from purest silk, 2 postage stamps, one used, one unused, and a small glass oval, like a magnifying glass. The word "frimp" written on a small piece of copper, and a large black key, clearly too big to fit inside the trinket box. We all sat there utterly baffled. Cecil tried to read the diary pages, but they seemed to be written in some kind of code. Suddenly, Mum got up and said, "Ah, this is a bloody saga now. I'm not going to have this ruin another bloody holiday. I'm sick of it. I don't even care what's in the sanding box. Just put that rubbish away, Cecil, and let's go look up a mountain or something. This is bullshit." I said, "It's not, Mum." And she just walked off. So, hen-pecked as he is, Cecil packed up all the things and said goodbye to the young woman and left. I thought about saying, "Well, why don't we get a phone number and we can ring her with anything that's in the box if we ever get it open?" But I've just said that internally and nobody heard me. I just wanted the phone number of the woman so I could text her in the night, just me heavy breathing, but via text. It's hard to spell, but you can do it. You can do it. It's not too bad. Anyway, Mum said that she just wanted some time alone with Cecil, which I thought, you're not really alone, are you, love? But I think they were just sick of me because I was getting a bit worked up. So I had to go to walk around Innsbruck on my own. Never felt so lonely. In the distance, I could see groups of tourists all clapping at a statue. Now, why are they clapping at that statue? I asked myself. So I walked over to the closest statue and went up to see if I could see if there were any jokes or sexy graffiti written on it. And then the bloody thing just lunged at me and grabbed my head. It wasn't a statue, it was a person. I screamed and tried to pull away, but the damn thing kept hold of my hair. I tried to bat it off with my hands, you know, all the while screaming, but I just couldn't shake it. Then a clever plan formed in my mind. I just flopped to the floor. There was no way in Gutenberg that this thing could hold up my bulk. You know, and it worked. The thing let go of me. I just sort of curled up in the fetal position and closed my eyes. People were all laughing at me in German, and I assumed pointing. After about 6 minutes later, I just sort of got up, dusted myself off and walked away. Stupid street demon. I walked on for about 32 minutes and 44 seconds, approximately, when I came to a river and a bridge. I wanted to walk upon the bridge and pretended to be continental, but it was over the road. What? It was over the road? Don't know what that means. That's nonsense. That's poor writing. Oh, I see. To get to the bridge was over the road. So I spent ages looking for the button for the crosswalk, because they had them, but there's no buttons on them. And it was so busy, I didn't know what to do. So I just stood there waiting for ages, no button to push, no green man was forthcoming. And then someone else came and stood next to me. And then apparently it's just all hands free over there. You just stand there. I was standing too far away, you see, I was too timid. You have to be bold and brassy like the Austrians, I think. So you just stand there, like it's like some kind of Star Trek thing, and it just goes off beeping and you can cross the road. That's wonderful future technology. So I crossed the road and went and looked in the river. It was pale, whitey blue. It was very lovely. I walked up. Oh, I've got an itch on my forearm. That's interesting, isn't it? I walked up into a public garden, which was next to the river. And yet again, right into the path of a cyclist. Thankfully, this one managed to avoid me. But then he crashed into a pretzel vendor. They both chased me for a little bit, but I managed to give them the slip because I dropped several bananas from my pre-packed lunch. I was never going to eat them anyway, was I? And they both slipped over and shouted at me in Austrian. I found a nice part of the park and sat down and ate my packed lunch. It was made by the hotel we're staying in. In it were two sandwiches, which had cheese in and one had pepperoni-style meat. Oh, it was delicious. Then a carton of juice, which I thought would be like Ribena, but oh no, I've never tasted anything like it in my life. It was thick like a custard, but tasted like fruits. I'd swear there were lumps in it, but it, you know, wasn't one of those modern smoothie drinks. It was meant to be like, it was just Ribena, but made with milk or something. It was horrible. There was a fun cartoon blackcurrant on the front, so I thought it'd just be watery based, but it wasn't. Oh, I'm sure it had UHT milk in it or some kind of chemical. It was disgusting. I was so nearly sick. Oh. Then I moved on to the pudding, which called itself corny. It looked like a tracker bar. But no, it was puffed corn that had been dipped in some kind of yoghurt. One bite and that came straight up. I retched like a celebrity in a jungle. Disgusting. So, I was hungry. Hungry and chubby. That's a terrible combination. So the search for the pizza shop began. And 1 hour and 5 minutes later, I found the bastard. And oh my word. For 50 euros, I bought the biggest pizza I've ever seen in my life. It weighs easily over 1 ounce. I don't know, about 3 stone maybe. No idea, if I'm honest with you. I didn't want to eat it in the street in case some kind of Italian tramp came and got me. So I went back to where the bus was picking us up. The driver was furious, apparently I was late, and as a penalty I had to give him a slice of my pizza. And I also had to let everybody else have a bit of my pizza. So I cut one slice into about 48 postage stamp sized bits and handed them out. Everyone said,
Is that it?
But I just didn't reply. Posh sod, I thought, you're not getting anything more than that. Buy your own, you toff. I just gave them all a look of disgust and resentment. And now, as usual, everyone seems to hate me. But I don't care. You know, I had a giant pizza burning my hands. Well, not burning my hands, but you know what I mean. Metaphorically. So to the backseat I went. And just as I was about to take a bite, the bloody driver said over the speaker,
I say it's forbidden to consume food on this bus. All food must be saved and eaten at the hotel.
I thought, hey up, you've got the same voice as the man who I just gave a tiny postage stamp style bit of pizza for.
Yes, well, I can only do it for one voice, Paul, I told you. You say you want to get me in to do several characters, and I can't, I just do one.
Hey, Sir Jeremy, don't come out of character. Keep quiet and stick to the script.
Oh, apologies.
You're going to have to do that line again, you've put me right off.
Okay, right, it is forbidden to cut,
the driver said.
What? Interrupt me.
Shut up. This is what the driver said over the speaker system, Jesus.
No.
Yes.
It is forbidden to consume food on the bus. All food must be saved and eaten once we return to the hotel.
I screamed something about his mother's virtue, and then Mum smacked me around the face. Oh, hit the microphone. By the time we got back to the hotel, it was time for dinner. And as I was told that you didn't... What? And as I told you that I didn't get... What? Oh, it's gone stupid. Oh, see, apologies. Right. This is the third day, which is the day that I spilt the soup on Cecil's flat cap. So it didn't go too well. So... I've been eating the pizza while I've been writing this diary. It's delicious. Best pizza ever. Unfortunately, I didn't wash my hands after eating this, and after eating that. So now my laptop keyboard is covered in pizza oil. Oh, it smells delicious. I wonder if it tastes delicious. Excuse me while I give the keyboard a lick. Ugh. Ugh. No, it didn't. It's disgusting. 27th of July. Ugh. It's 7:20 a.m. Breakfast is at 7:30. But as we're an hour ahead of England, it's actually 7:20 a.m. to my body clock. Ugh. My body watch is still on good old British time. The only thing that's got me out of my rock-hard tiny bed is the various selections of meats and cheeses waiting for me. Right, I better go and suck on a polo because I forgot my toothbrush and Mum and Dad have only got false teeth so they don't bring teeth brushes. Oh dear. I'm back from breakfast now and ate all the salami. Oh, I heard several old biddies say,
I haven't put any meat out.
Only Dad knew it was me that had eaten it all. We were the first ones in, well, me and Dad. Mum was having a confab with the barman over. She heard some German saying,
"Oh, piff, old chap. I'm English, don't you know? Pie and mash, my old sock."
And that upset her and angered her. And when she's angry, she likes a good complain. She was going to write a strongly worded letter, but then Dad said that people might not be able to read English or her handwriting. So she just shouted at the barman instead. The poor bugger. He didn't have a clue what she was on about. But it gave me ample opportunity to eat 50 slices of various salamis. Oof, I fear for the range of gases that are going to follow. They're sure to come out in pumps and a trumps. They also had a yoghurt and different types of breads. And I told Dad you were supposed to dip your bread in the yoghurt. And when everyone was around the table, he did that. They all asked what he was doing and he said it was the local custom. So all the silly old fools started doing it too. They said it were lovely. So I had a go. And do you know what? It was absolutely vile. I thought it would be. Disgusting textures. Oh, I'm buzzing, mate. I bet that's Dad texting me to come down and get my pork pie. Is it? Let's have a look. No. No, it's not. Someone's twittered. Anyway, never mind. Right. I'm going to get dressed now and comb the left side of my hair, leaving the right side to look like I've just got out of bed, which is the modern style I'm sporting on holiday. We're off out soon somewhere, don't know where, bye bye. It's 6 o'clock in the PM now. We've had a damp day today. First of all, we went to... Oh, fuck. Oh, buzzing at me. First of all, we went to the small town of Meyerhofen. It was mostly tourist-based. There were shops and the usual tat. it was mostly tourist-based shops with the usual tourist tat in, like tiny teddy bears dressed like dwarfs and the whatnot. But first thing we did was go into the local supermarket shop. Pumping. Can you believe that spa shops are everywhere? They're like Tesco's over here, but everything inside's like an Aldi, but expensive. We went round and bought a couple of drinks and some special Austrian chocolates called Mozart Balls. Don't know what's in them, I'm a bit scared. Once we got these things, Cecil said,
"Paul, we've a surprise for you, but first you have to put this blindfold on."
Now, I've heard that they have a more relaxed attitude to female nudity over here in the continent, so I was hoping Cecil was taking me to an underwear shop or some kind of erotic museum that I've seen maybe on Eurotrash. But, you know, they didn't want me to be able to find it, so they just sort of blindfolded me and walked me to it. So I consented to be blindfolded. Or is it blindfolded? I don't know. Then we walked for about 4 minutes and I heard Dad say,
"Three adults, please,"
which excited me greatly. Then I was led up a slope and around like a little roundabout. I could hear sort of weird machinery. Dad said it was a special kind of bus. Then I felt movement under my foot. And indeed, we were moving. And after about 2 minutes, Cecil said I could open my eyes and take my blindfold off. And I slowly removed the blindfold. And what I saw nearly made me pass out. We stood on what I can only describe as a great glass elevator. I was hundreds of feet in the air, slowly going over Christmas trees. Yeah, it was a cable car, so I was told. But I couldn't hear what they were saying because I was screaming so loud and trying not to move an inch. You know, I've never been so scared in my life. I literally weed and pooed a bit, I think. And once the panic had passed and we were passing up the mountain bit, I began to just sort of gently sob. The floor was glass, the wall were glass, and all I knew was that we were going to just drop dead any second. But before we would die, we'd have a few seconds of plummeting to the ground, knowing we were just going to splatter like a human pizza. Oh, the terror. After the worst 15 minutes of my life, we arrived at the top. It was breathtaking. There were cows and grass and a small cafe and clouds absolutely everywhere. It was like being in thick fog, you couldn't see a damn thing. So Cecil went to buy some new trousers and pants for me from the Lederhosen shop, and I went to get a drink of whiskey to calm my nerves. And 4 minutes and two bottles of schnapps later, Mum announced that we had to go back down the cable car and catch the bus. That meant another journey on the Great Glass Room of Terror. But by this time I was a little bit drunk and was quite blasé about it. And I was sporting my fancy new Lederhosen. I was looking forward to impressing the local frows at the bottom. They might think I'm like the male equivalent of Heidi, but sexy. By the time we got to the bottom, we were 10 minutes late for the bus, because the cable car had got stuck halfway down. Something about being too much weight on the cables. The driver was furious with us, and to make it worse, anyone who was late had to do a little song for everyone. So I sang for them. I sung my tribute to Dame Thora Heard. It went down like a house being dropped on a baby calf, i.e. very badly. And there were several heckles most of the way through the song. Something about respect for the dead. Yes, sodden. So finally we set off. My mum and dad had sung their duet, Suddenly Seymour, except they changed it to Suddenly Cecil. You know, the song from Little Shop of Horrors. It brought the house, well, the bus down in floods of tears. Dad was singing the bit that the woman sings for some reason. Don't know why. I don't know how he got some of those high notes, but he did. We set off somewhere called the Kimmel Falls, which was like... it was a waterfall, but like everything here, it was halfway up a mountain. We got off the bus and had to walk for 30 English minutes to the base of the waterfall. It was alright. It was huge, and quite large amounts of water were falling from rocks above it. And I stood there, mouth gaping in awe. I felt a dampness growing over my person. And it was a cold, cold 5 minutes before I realised the spray from the waterfalls was getting all over my Lederhosen. And it was a cold more 5 minutes before I realised the spray was getting me and my hosen completely sodden to the point of... Oh, I think you could see through my white shirt that they put on me. My nipples were definitely visible and very, very pointy. Mum and Dad were alright though, because they brought those cheap plastic bag coat things that you wear. They were lovely and snug. I was freezing, my little man was shrinking, and I was shivering, and you could see my breath. Oh. I took several pictures of it, the waterfall, not my nipples. And then I ran back to the cafe where everyone had, like, they were just studying these huge hair dryers, and it blows you dry. It's a bit of a tight squeeze, but I got in and it got me mostly dry. All my hair's gone frizzy and stood up on end. It looks like an afro. It's been a great day. We got back to the hotel and had a meal, though they didn't give me any soup or pudding, nasty woman. The meat was some kind of pig, but salty. Too salty, in fact, couldn't eat it. There were potatoes and they'd been smothered in mayonnaise. It was an abomination. So now it's about 6:30 in the night, or nacht. And to pass the time before bed, we're playing Snap. I get bored of it though, so I just start being more violent when I'm claiming Snap and just slapping my hand down on top of everybody else's. I really hope to bruise Mum's hand very badly, because she threw away the pizza box I was saving to show my grandchildren, you know, the meter diameter one. Oh, anyway, I hope I get sent to bed very, very early. It's boring on a night. 28th of July. Oh God, we've still got quite a bit to get through. Come on, Chunky Boy. 28th of July. Guten Morgen, mein... Don't know how to end that sentence. Podcast listeners don't know what that is in German. Das Podcasten listener, and yeah. Today the trip out is to the historic city of Salzburg. But before we venture there, there's the matter of breakfast. We've just had it, but Max and Pamela were there to eat the meats and cheeses. The waitress kept saying something and pointed to their chairs, but as none of them speak Austrian, all I could say was, Ich habe ein großes Krankenhaus, ja. Which means I have a big hospital, yes. The woman seemed quite impressed, but she still left them some food out. So I ate all the meats and cheeses. Then I came up here to get dressed. They don't seem to mind me going to breakfast in just my underwear. I love it. I love the free and easy continental style. Apart from the fact Cecil hasn't pooed in 5 days and is constantly keeping us in status updates about that. We're off to Salzburg now, which means Sales Beef Burger, I think. Salzburg. Don't know. I think. I know, I don't want to be late. I can't think of a song to sing on the bus. I better go. Bye-bye. Hello. Welcome back. Salzburg. What can I say about Salzburg? Well, lots of things, actually. Firstly, we had a guided tour around the historic parts by a man called Alfonso. He was Italian and too aggressive with his hands, if you ask me, which I know you probably are doing. He took us to an old church. Oh, my word. They don't skimp on the gold and silver chintz over here, do they? Subtlety is not an option that comes with these Catholic churches. I was at least hoping for lots of paintings of nudie chubby ladies surrounded by cherubs, holding some kind of gossamer material just over the naughty bits. But no, nothing like that. They're all pictures of skeletons and demons cooking men alive. There were cherubs, but they were horrific cherubs. I saw one nun looking at me. I'm sure she thought I was a cherub come to life. You know, because I'm drunk. I didn't have any wings and I was a bit nude though, because she just caught me when I was changing into my lederhosen because I thought that might impress them. But I didn't. Then the tour guide took us to a shopping centre. Ugh. There were lots of these horrific people statues. Or should that be statue people? I don't know. All painted silver. That can't be good for your skin, can it? Little did I know there was one stood right behind me. The guide was rambling on about shop signs or summer. I don't know, I wasn't really listening. Then I felt someone tug at my camcorder strap. I turned round and this man robot monstrosity had looped his hand round the strap so that wherever I went, it meant that he was holding my camcorder. Fearing a reenactment of the last time, I sort of closed my eyes and just punched him in the testy. I put all my weight behind it and the robot man screamed and was sick on me. And then he ran away crying. I think that was the coolest thing I've ever done in my life. It felt amazing. That lasted for about 2 minutes because he came back down the street with two policemen. And I got really scared because I saw that they've got real guns. The main policeman came over and said,
Excuse us, sir. Do you saw this police performer?
I said, what?
He said, did you saw the street performer?
Sir Jeremy, you've got to work on your accents.
Oh, shut up.
And I said, yes, officer, but please, you must understand he was being creepy and annoying. And the police officer just said,
yes, I know. We lock him away. We hate him. He need real job. You have done great public service. Dankeschön.
And he nodded at me and bowed and then walked away like a Chinaman.
Can't say that, Paul.
Like a Chinese man, is that better? And then I just sort of went, oh, right. And then just joined the tour group again. Alfonso. Blabbered on for another 45 minutes about Mozart. Wasn't listening. Then he finally left us to it. We only had 2 hours, so Mum rushed us round to the big main castle thing. We got a lift train thing with a German man who stank worse than I did. The view at the top was actually quite spectacular. We were rushed around some old historic rooms with beds and war paraphernalia in. Then Mum sort of rushed us around the market where she insisted we buy a pretzel each. Me and Dad didn't really want them because they're out in the open and they had flies all on them. They just leave the meats and cheeses and bread products out in the open air for anyone to sneeze or spit phlegm onto. It's no wonder they're all so thin here, being sick and pooing themselves with the contaminated snacks. Anyway, she then ran us into the main shopping zone. I saw another nun. And then that was it. All there was we got time to eat our pretzel and get on the bus. Oh, it's made my nose run. So we're here in the room now. Those pretzels. They've caused quite a stir. Sadly, mostly Mum and Dad's bottom. They've been pooing for about 45 minutes on and off. Luckily, there's a spare toilet downstairs. The walls are so paper thin I can hear every movement coming from the room toilet rooms. I've tried going on the balcony, but there's loads of spiders and wasps out there, so I'm not going to stay out there. I think I'm just going to go to bed with my earphones in. Obviously not going to be doing anything interesting tonight. Oh, actually, it's tea time. I'll just go check and see if Mum and Dad want to go and have anything to eat. Bastards. They're not, and I'm starving. I'm going to have to go down and eat all on my own, aren't I? Well, apart from Maxwell and Pamela. Oh, Maximilian, sorry. Sorry, Max. If they're there anyway. Right, better go on my own, be a social butterfly. Bye-bye. Oh, that were awful. Old Max there, were there. As were Pearl and Doug. Always forget about them two shits. Then Pamela made a late appearance, but not before the soup was served. And it was cream of cabbage. I said to the waitress, "Och, no, ich nicht lichten." But for some reason that meant she gave me a second serving. So I sort of just planned on leaving it, but then Pearl chipped in saying, "And they're Geordies from Newcastle." Not Scottish, by the way, I thought they were Scotch, but they're not. And then she said, "Come on, Mum. Ah, I hope you're going to eat that. I used to live in Baghdad and haven't seen little Barnes starve to death like. Howie." And then she just stared at me with one of the scariest looks I've ever... One of the scariest looks I've ever been given, which is saying something given the looks Mum can give. So I had no option to start eating it. It was absolute torture. It claimed to be cream of cabbage, but it was basically just cabbage and salty water. The cabbage was almost liquid, it was cooked so much, and the water was as salty as 6 quarts of seawater boiled down to a salty, salty brine. Salt. But then Dougie was staring at me and he said, "Aye, lad, you didn't knit what that waste of food, then I cannot bind hand round the shite leg, why, aye?" I don't know what he said, but I think it was meant to scare me. So I just closed my eyes and thought of England and all her crisps and cola. And do you know what? I ate it. It took me 30 minutes and I got through it. And then Pearl said, "Aye, aye, well done, like." "Mum, that's rubbish. Stop." Then she unfolded her arms and started eating her pudding. I'd missed both my main course and my pudding by eating this salty cabbage water. So I've come back upstairs now. Oh, the smell when I walked in the bedroom. Mum and Dad are in bed just trumping. I'm so hungry. Oh, are we up? What's that on the countertop? It's Dad's pretzel. Well, half of it that is left. It does look nice. I'm going to have that. I'm starving. Oh, that was deliciously sweet. I think it was marzipan flavour. Delicious. Oh, hang on. Oh, that feels wrong. Oh, no. my bum bum. Oh, what have I done? 29th of July. Morning there. Well, what a night that was. All three of us rushing to the toilet on and off. Luckily, we didn't have to go at the same time. Oof, that rubbish bin would have seen some horrific contents. But all's well that trumps well. And there's no follow through, so we're fine. Anyway, today there was no trip. It was a free day. So we were off to breakfast and then we're going for a short walk down the road to a local gorge. But first I go now to breakfast and the meats and the cheeses. Well, what a performance. Pamela wasn't there again, but Max was. Oh, he's done one of his... Oh, excuse me, that's the breakfast coming back. He's done one of his witticisms again. What was it now? He said, oh, this meat's as grisly as a mother-in-law's kiss. As in, his mother-in-law used to kiss him with gristle on her face? Don't know. Seems to go on about mother-in-laws quite a lot. Thing is, he's never even been married. Oof, he's getting right in my man boobs, if you ask me. As is everyone, actually. Every day for 2 hours, I have to sit listening to them making small talk about nothing. Well, mostly about Pearl and her holidays and where she lived. She spent 2 years in Iraq, 4 years in Vietnam, not Vietnam, somewhere called Vietnam, and 6 years in Bosnia. I wish she well sod off back there, stupid bitch. The only time she smiles is when she's talking about herself. Dad keeps trying to chip in and giving anecdotes about the time he was lost at sea for 6 weeks or months, whatever time. It depends, it changes every time he tells that. And just when he got to the bit about Fitzpatrick's gangrenous leg, the silly woman butts in about the time she put on a musical for orphans of landmine victims. She told me not to eat as many meats and cheeses and try some of the fruits. And I said, oh, no, thank you, I don't really like fruit. And she just sort of moved away from me and tutted, and then did a very slow blink and just said, some people are just so spoiled. And as she said spoilt, she looked over at Mum. I don't think Mum heard or saw her. And then Dad spilt his milk. Thankfully, it went all over Pearl, but she jumped up and said, oh, you blithering idiot! And ran out shouting, Dougie, fetch a cloth! But in a different voice. I think Dad might have then given me a knowing wink. Either that or his twitch is playing up again. Right, we're going out for a little short walk now. Guten Tag! Well, I know I've said this before, but I don't know where to start. But this time I think I'll just start at the beginning. Here I go. When we set off for our walk... No, I've got that wrong on the first sendotons. We set off for our walk, and as fate would have it, Max and a now-awake Pamela also set off for a walk. So we walked with them. They seem to be getting on quite well with Mum and Dad. I think Max and Pamela are becoming a bit of an item. So after about an hour, we finally reached the opening for this gorge. It was called something in German, but essentially it was just a gorge. And for those that don't know what a gorge is, it's like a very narrow valley with a river running down it. I only say that because I didn't know what a gorge was until Pamela told me. I thought it was just like a small gorge. I thought it was odd. I thought we were going to see a dwarf or something called George. Didn't know. Anyway, now that I'm going to say gorge a lot, I think. Now, this particular gorge had a fast-flowing river going down it because it was quite steep incline down the mountain. The water was a beautiful blue colour, and there was all multicoloured rocks lining the riverbed and surrounding wells. The path we walked on was about 20 feet higher than the river, so you got a really nice look down onto the river. It would quite help us a bit. If you had vertigo, you'd be frightened. So we walked down for about 20 minutes, when all of a sudden Max got a bit ebullient and started doing a tap dance. Because they've been talking about Sir Lionel Blair. This was jaunty and hilarious. But the thing about this area of Austria is that it's very, very rural even, and there are very few, if indeed any, health and safety measures. Most importantly, there's no barriers between the path and the 20-foot drop into the river. So as Max was doing his hilarious tap dance, he moved towards the edge of the path. I mean, I noticed he was doing this, but I assumed that he knew he was going to get close to the edge. But as we all know, assuming makes an ass out of you and me. Do you see that? It's very clever, isn't it? Because that's how you spell assume, with an ass and then a you and a me. I might go on Dragon's Den with that, actually. Anyway, I assumed wrong because Max plummeted. Only Pamela saw him hit the river, and she is quite mad, and all she could do was just fall to the floor shouting, "Oh, Quats! Oh, Quats! No, Quats, darling! Oh!" We rushed over to see what we could see, and I nearly slipped in. The floor was quite gravelly. We looked over and we could see him just lying on his back on a rock in the middle of the river, water flowing round him, almost washing him away. In a weak voice, he shouted up,
"This is nearly as painful as a mother-in-law's hug."
We shouted down to him to see if he could move, but the river just started washing him away. And then, just as he was slipping under the water, the last thing we heard him saying was,
"My only regret is that I never had a mother-in-law."
And then he just sank under the water. The water turned red and we never saw him again. When we got to the end of the gorge, we told the local authorities and they said something to Pamela and she just screamed,
"Quats!"
And broke down crying. She's gone home to England now, apparently. Poor old Maximilian. But life goes on, so we went and had a sandwich by the river and I commented on how beautiful the flora and fauna is. I tried to make a joke about Max's death, something like, "I shall do a tap dance and push it to the max." Mum laughed, but then Cecil said,
"Oh, that was a cheap shot, Paul."
And I felt a little bit sad inside. We're back at the hotel now. It's tea time. We're meant to be observing a minute's silence for Max, but I use the opportunity to do a trump as loud as possible. Or I might anyway, if I can. "Hello, dearest diary. Well, I'm back. We had a minute's silence. And just as I was about to fart my way into Comedy Gold, the new woman who was sat at our table started talking. Everyone looked round at her and of course Pearl, the queen of the high horse, said,
"How dare you, have some respect."
I thought she was supposed to be Geordie now, Mum. Shut up, I'm just doing that voice now. Okay. So, once we'd had a quiet minute, we had soup, chicken and salt. It was delicious. But this new woman, Irene, never stopped talking. Don't know how she does it. She never seemed to have any food in her mouth, yet she ate all her dinner, but she literally never stopped talking. Even Pearl could butt in. She talked about nothing, just every notion that popped into her head immediately came out of her mouth, like, "Oh, this bread's yeasty. Don't they have nice silver knives and forks here? My nephew had a fork like this, it could be interesting to know the size of a fork. I'll maybe take a picture of it and send it to him." And she'd repeat the same thing over and over again, usually in a slightly different way. Like, "Did they ever tell you I like going to open-air multicultural festivals?" And she asks questions there's no way you could possibly know the answer to, like, "Oh, did you see the Freedom Festival in Hull? Did you like the flags? They had various shades of colours on." And I said to her, "I've never even been to Hull to see the Freedom Festival. Don't know what it is, love." And then without pausing for breath, she'll just launch into a tirade of tedium, like, "Oh, you do, they have it at the marina. I like to walk at the marina on a weekend. You know, some people do the shopping on a Sunday, but I don't like to. I like to use Sundays as a leisure day. I don't know why they shop on a Sunday, my Sundays are for leisure. Do you do shopping on a Sunday? I mean, some people do. They actually go to Asda and buy all the things they need on a Sunday, but not me. Oh no, I like to go to the marina and see the boats. Some are bigger than others, and some are people. Have you noticed that? Some people are bigger than other people. Like men. Generally, men are larger than women, but not always. Some women are bigger than men. Do they do their shopping on a Sunday? It's not right. Sunday's for leisure, a holy day. Do you believe in the Christian philosophy of things? Do you? Are you religious? I used to be, but I'm not sure now. What with terrorism and all? Do you think Sunday should be kept special? That's why I don't go like shopping on a Sunday." For like an hour. Oof. It's exhausting listening to her. I'm shattered. I'm going to bed. Sod tonight's snap tournament.